Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You guys got the rhythm. Welcome once again to Meltdown Comics in Hollywood, California. Harmontown is now in session. Please welcome to the stage the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon.
Hey.
All right, let's get this over with. I've been Minecrafting for 2 days, and I'm in the middle of a big skyscraper, and I'm trying to get my item ducts working. I'll tell you about it later.
What were you talking about last night? Chicken chunkers? What was it?
Spencer was recommending, because in Minecraft, the world is infinitely procedurally generated as you go anywhere, and everything that is created stays where it is. However, things don't stay active. Like if you're cooking something on a little grill and you walk too far away from it, it'll just kind of stop cooking on the grill. But the grill will still be there and the thing will still be on the grill unless you build what's called a chunk loader, because everything's in chunks. The data is all in chunks. So Spencer was recommending I get a thing called chicken chunks. Okay. All right. This is the most ill-advised way to open a show.
Should I start playing this game? Is it that good?
It's the best. Are you kidding?
Well, by applause, who plays this game here?
It's not even a game. It's like knitting, you know? Remember when we both had pirated copies of Maya and we would just send little things back and forth? Like, yeah. You would make like a sphere with some nipples on it, and then you'd email me the file, and then I'd open it up and I'd extrude the nipples and loft them into a NURB surface. No, it's fun. It's like a hobby. It's not really a game, because you're not like, there's no score and you're not trying to kill anybody.
Right.
It's like playing Legos.
So the sense of achievement is from moment to moment.
It's just making stuff. Yeah. You just go. That's what you get a multiplayer server, and then you can go. You just sit there by yourself most of the time forever, even if your friend's on there. But then sometimes you maybe jetpack over to your friend's location and look at what they're making, and okay. All right.
Maybe I'll take up knitting. That'd be all right. Make a hat. That'd be great.
All right. I'm really sorry about the beginning of this episode. I didn't mean for it to happen this way. I got picked up for an Uber tonight, and I don't know why I can't penetrate the Lyft membrane. I don't know why. I've had nothing but good experiences with Lyft, but I keep going back to Uber like an abused boyfriend, like Abe Lincoln crawling back to Mary Todd, no matter how hard she hits him. Wasn't there some rumor about that?
She was so crazy she beat Abe?
Yeah, wasn't there some rumor about that Abe Lincoln was a battered husband?
What?
I can't be just making that up. I mean, I can be.
I wish you had that deep of an imagination.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. Yeah, I feel like I heard that somewhere.
Okay. Well, we're going to find out tomorrow online.
So I got into the Uber, and new thing. The guy, I get into the Uber, and the guy has a paper and pencil, a piece of typing paper and a pencil. And he says, in the Uber app, as you know, you type in, your address, where you want to get picked up, and then you can type in your destination. So you would think a little less talking, maybe, a little less maintenance. I get into the car, and the guy says, where are you going? And this happens a lot. And I don't know how to sound like an asshole, but I just went like, isn't it on the thing? Like, look at the thing, because I can see it. It's on the armrest. There's like a map on his phone, blinking, like a hologram of me saying, "This is where you drive me."
But he's got the pen and paper out,
and then he goes like, "What street?" And I said, "Wait, look on the thing. It's on Sunset." He's like, "Well, what street?"
Was this guy Asian?
No,
I'm joking. I'm joking.
I just realized he was talking about my street. He was talking about the street I live on.
Right.
And he wanted to know how to spell it because he wanted to write it down on a piece of typing paper with a pencil.
To murder
on his
later?
Leg, like a weird, like emotionally challenged junior in high school, like who's trying to get his homework done on the bus. Is just like writing, scrawling the name of my street down? Is it keeping a cooked book or something? It doesn't matter. Now I told you what street I live on, so that's why I paused in the middle of that.
It's a long street.
It's at least six houses long. You'll never find the gate with H on it.
Just look for the Uber car out front. And the guy with the...
Yeah, just look for the line of Uber cars.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You gotta do Lyft, man. The Lyft is way more fun. It's faster and easier for my entertainment dollar.
Well, now it doesn't matter. I'm gonna be murdered by Monday. Like three people who will only be doing things with the best intentions.
So you took a couple lifts though, right? Or just one?
I took two lifts,
and
I had a good time in both.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's the front seat thing.
You don't have to sit in the front.
I know, but that then you're weird.
No,
then
you're not.
In a lift, you get in the back seat, and you're weird.
I've accidentally sat in the back. Sometimes I sat in the front of an Uber. Nobody seems to care. Uber's just a bummer. I don't know. Like, that's fucking. It's slow and funky, and I don't like it.
Hygiene Corner!
Hygiene Corner, gonna find a good song for it. Because it's Hygiene Corner.
It's a lot like Sports
Hygiene.
Corner.
It's when you clean yourself. Yo, yo, Hygiene Corner. calling all scientists, please. The planet only has so much time left. We're all dying. We're not going to make it to the moon. The globals are warming. The tides are rising. AIDS is airborne. By the time you hear this recording, maybe it will be. All I'm saying is, before we die, could someone just make a pill that makes your fingernails stop growing? Just make a... Well, how hard can that be?
Has this become a big burden in your life?
Only for 41 years or so, since I was born with these pointless fingernails that constantly grow, like unless you take a medieval appliance and use pressure and hewn metal to chisel off chunks of lifeless keratin? What is it? Chitin? What the fuck is on us? What is this shit? Why do we have it? It's from before punching was invented.
No, it's like it regenerates so you can pick up your keys if they land on the ground.
I don't use my nails to pick up my keys.
Your credit card off the bar? You need that. And if they get damaged, they have to regenerate like a rodent's teeth has to regenerate the dentin to get to burrow and shit, man.
I guess if we're using them,
you never scratch yourself.
You never. But I just feel like if we didn't have them, then we wouldn't itch as much, and we'd make keys thicker, and credit cards with little handles on them. Like we would have. We don't have a belly button tentacle, but it's not like we notice it's gone all the time.
because we don't have any devices. You know, there's not like a rope to get into each building. It's like, use your belly button tentacle to get in. Oh, fuck. Like, let's just get rid of the fucking fingernails. Or just make them stop growing. Just make them stop growing.
But what if you damaged one? What if you, like you...
Then you take the antidote. For a week. You make it... And make them grow a little
bit. Do you work for Big Pharma? Is that your thing?
I don't know.
It's a weird drug push right now.
Okay, all right, okay. No pills. A better device than these clippers.
They're called your back teeth, Jack. I bite my fingernails. Look at these. Perfect. I'm a perfect fingernail biter.
Gross. It's weird what grosses people out, what doesn't gross other people out.
Biting your toenails is gross, but people do it. Anyone here bite the toenails?
What? No one's going to bite. How do you...
There's people that do it. Your brother does?
My brother has it.
Oh. Have you seen him do it?
Yeah.
That's horrifying.
He has to lift his foot all the way up to his...
Is he a yogi? That's flexible. I couldn't if I wanted to.
Jealous. Yeah, I mean...
I guess it is jealousy.
All right, Jeff. A bootlegger...
Are we still on Hygiene Corner?
No. Do you want a new segment?
No.
Hygiene. That was Hygiene Corner.
I like bookends.
There was a guy that got 33 months in prison. Somebody tweeted me a link to an article. I believe this was in the UK. Some guy recorded Fast and the Furious 9, whatever they're on, in the theater, you know, like they do. He uploaded it onto the web and was charging like £1.50 for torrent downloads of it. And they caught him and they sentenced him to 33 months in prison.
You should be sentenced that much for just going to that movie in the first place. Zing.
Obviously making an example of this guy.
33 pretty, years.
It's pretty fucking disgusting.
He was already sentenced? That's the sentence.
He has been sentenced 30, not 33 years. Why do I get? Did I?
Said oh, okay.
Months.
Sorry, I heard years.
Okay,
33 months. That's ridiculous.
It's crazy, because if I mean, obviously, all it comes down to is money. So in the article, which is clearly slanted towards, like they use the guy's worst photo. He's leaning against a Camaro, flipping the finger. every quote from him, that, like he would post stuff to his Facebook page, and then the guy that sentenced him. Like referenced him saying shit on the Facebook page, which is crazy. Like when they were sentencing him, they were like, "Clearly, you know, everything we need to know about your attitude is all in that Facebook post from yesterday." What the fuck? What are we in eighth grade? What kind of do? What in the do process? More like do not process.
don't process.
Don't.
How much money did he make?
Well, they tabulated what he cost Universal. I think that's the studio.
Oh, yeah. So all these people wouldn't go buy the DVD because they
saw it? Yeah, because we all know that's how everything works because we're all Sims. Like, you'd only download a torrent of Fast and the Furious 6 if you were unable to get out to the theaters and watch it. And of course, if you downloaded it, means you definitely would have gone to the theater. That's the first erroneous piece of math. But they use a bunch of theoretical math to figure that this guy cost Universal, I don't know, tens or hundreds of millions of dollars. You know, they tabulate it. Obviously, it's just okay. Rich people run the world. Money makes the world go round. It should be a crime to fuck with rich people, I guess. I mean, it's their world. But why put them in prison? Like, why do you put? Why? Like, what is? How much money is he going to make anybody in prison? Like, send him to Universal Studios camp or something. Like, put him in a panda outfit and
make him drive that tram.
Yeah, make great theme parks that are like cheaper because they're peopled with criminals who stole movies or something. You know, like it's hot. It sure is hot in here. It'd be a lot less hot if I hadn't partaken in hot merchandise.
If you can't stand the heat.
Like Backdraft. Speaking of which, the Backdraft stunt show starting over here. You know, it's like they could just kind of blend confession with with helping paying customers, and then they work off their debt. Well, do it that way. Don't put people in prison. Unless they're going to stab somebody. This should be this pretty simple rule with prison, right? Like when should you put a guy in a little cubicle that he can't get out of physically? When he would physically do something bad.
What about
if he was out?
What about like Bernie Madoff, who ruined a lot of people's lives?
I think there's got to... Well, first of all, do we really punish these people? I mean, is that an example of a guy who is doing time, right?
Yeah, he's in prison.
But not to get off on that tangent, but, you know, there's a pretty big disparity in the amount of these people that actually do see hard justice. So why not commit to that idea that anybody that commits a crime that is financial in origin has to suffer some kind of financial punishment, you know? Why? What's the big deal? I don't get it. And also pills that make your toenails stop growing. That's it. I don't have all the answers. Tweet me at suck my dick. I don't care.
At suck my dick?
Yeah. Well, obviously suck my dick were both taken. Because Twitter's been around for like 15 years, so...
Suck, but there's lots of underscores and shit like that.
All right. What else we got here? Oh, yeah. Halfway through the Uber trip, silence for the car ride, except for all that rigmarole in the beginning. No, just follow the map. And then we're driving. It's really quiet for a long time. And then he just says, cooled down, huh? And it just made me think. And I was like, yeah. This is not new territory to talk about, but like talking about weather, like it really is insane. Because like, what if he said cooled down, huh? What if I had said no? I disagree. I don't think it has cooled down. Now we're in a small argument. George Takei is a hero. Saw a documentary about him.
What did he do?
You know what he did, Jeff? It just occurred to me while I was watching the documentary.
Aside from delighting us on TV for so many years.
He's always been a delightful personality. You know, he's a little silly. He talks like this no matter what he's talking about. But this guy, and he's very happy-go-lucky, and he's kind of talks like a game show host. I realized while watching the documentary, this guy has been... I don't want to use too strong language, but I also don't want to fucking stretch out a big long daisy chain of words just so it's not that strong. I mean, I realize that other people have had it harder than in their lives, but I just want to say, like, George Takei, as a jolly old man, he's been betrayed by his country twice in his lifetime, once because of his race and once because of his orientation. Like, he has he spent his childhood in a Japanese-American internment camp, and still, like, exited with enough, like, altruism and magnanimity and optimism to have a good life. You know, if you let that get you down, I'm sure a lot of people left those camps all fucked up and bitter and fucked for life. But then having done that, then he had to be, you know, he didn't have to be, but he kind of had to be in the closet for in order to get acting work and stuff. And then he, you know, it's like the equal marriage rights thing. Like, he found himself then at the forefront of that thing. It was like people telling him you shouldn't be allowed to get married if you're gay. And every time at each turn, this is a country that this guy loves. And he loves everybody, and he likes talking to people, and I like having conversations. And he's not, like, deluded. It's not like he's Regis Philbin, just like, oh, well, I'm a little bit... He sounds like that, but he's, like, he's meeting head-on, like, these controversies. He's transparent and honest and sincere when he talks about them, about his experiences at this camp and his experiences, like, on the forefront of fighting for gay rights. And yet, at no point does he do what I did when the Ferguson thing happened, which is just like throw my hands in the air and get all mad and whiny and start screeching at the top of my lungs. If everybody did that, we'd really be fucked. Mm. Like, it was kind of inspiring. I thought, you know, maybe if I always find the humor and the George Takei.
Where was
things.
This documentary on?
I don't know. The Takei Network? I don't know.
Did I tell you that I was on a plane with him, and we were coming back from a gig, and it was like I was with Greg Proops, and he sat across from us, and like we were like row two, and he was in row one. And we're like, fucking Sulu's on the fucking plane. Like this plane can't crash. Everybody on the plane was like, we're good. And so we're boarding the plane because we had been with him in security, and he was in front of us checking in. But then he was with like his like assistant or handler or wrangler or maybe companion. I don't know, like buddy, friend, boyfriend. I have no idea. But like, I think Sulu. Goddamn it, George Takei was a little under the weather. He had a kind of a cough, and this guy was like keeping him making sure he was warm and stuff, and being very attentive and nice. And then we kept getting in front of him, and so we were in. Greg was in front of him getting on the plane. I was behind him. And he gets on, and the guy who's beeping, like, boop, thank you, Mr. Davis, boop, thank you, Mr. Proust, boop, Mr. George Takei. And just he goes, well, hello. And then he goes, I'm a big fan of yours, Mr. Takei. Well, thank you very much. It's very nice to hear. And then he goes, I forget the show. Was he on like a
Star Trek.
Family Guy or something like that? No, he guest starred on some show, whatever. Was it? Yeah, Family Guy. And he goes, I saw your Family Guy last night. He goes, oh, well, that's very good news. I can expect a residual.
Yeah. And he and his husband are very, they're a cute couple. They're very, very inspiring to, they're an older couple now, but they're not like making out with each other at every step or trying to prove something, but they're clearly in love and they're like soulmates and they walk around hand in hand. And it's check out the documentary. It's a cute little thing. I don't know what it's called. Beam me over to you.
It should be beam me out.
Beam me out. But like
of the closet. I don't know.
Oh.
Of the internment camp, of the closet.
Beam me out. Everywhere I go, someone's trying to keep me in somewhere.
Where was this beaming technology when I needed it?
All right. Well, that's the end of my notes. I think that I wore the wrong shirt, or it's these goddamn lights. Sweating, I was saying, like a pig again.
Navy is a good color on you. You look very dynamic.
Well, it absorbs heat. I should have worn tin foil. I don't think that would work either.
That keeps heat in too.
That would be like a potato. I should have worn mirrors, like the lady in Dance Hall Days. To reflect everything outward. I bet that lady in Dance Hall Days was cold as a cucumber when she comes out of the disco ball and she's covered in disco mirrors. We were so in phase. In my dance hall days.
This is
cool.
Is it from the video?
Chris.
Wait.
When I sing.
Sing all the words.
I don't open my mouth. And napkins on my shoe.
I never knew the words of that song.
Yeah, no, he's saying, take your baby by the heel. Take her by the heel?
No, that's by the hand for sure.
No, he says hand and then he says heel later.
What?
No. Yeah.
Does he really?
Yeah, look it up. And look up fingernails and Fast and the Furious.
At www.sucksucksuckmydick.com.
Let's bring up an early Spencer Crittenden.
Early Crittenden.
Just to get out of these lights, man. I gotta get out. It's like one of those things. Oh, that's nice of him. Well, I don't want to be responsible for people being unable to see me.
No, we can still see.
Okay.
You still reflect light.
All right. Hello.
Hey. Spencer, you're on at 8:26, 8:27. Is that the earliest you've ever been out here?
I don't know, man.
Feels like
maybe on this stage. It's not a
Spencer, did you
joke?
Get high since I last saw you 5 minutes ago?
No, I'm feeling just weird in the stomach. It's throwing me off. I'm having a good time though.
I'm glad to be here.
Do you have to make chocolate poopies?
In this fine country. No, I'm sure I will before this day is done. But right now, here, I'm seated, ready to do some comedy.
Did you eat some, a misguided burrito or something?
I think I did, yeah. I went to 7-Eleven and I got two taquitos and they were really delicious and I've never had them before, but I'm already like, no. See, here's the thing. 7-Eleven, they have all this food that's like crappy food and it has flavor, but it also has this consistency that's very microwaved. But the thing is, I eat food that I cook in the microwave. So, like, it's not that big of a deal, right? But, you know,
Are these taquitos the ones that are rolling around?
Yeah, they're those rolling taquitos. I get a lot of hot dogs, no incident, but, man, taquitos.
I don't think a 7-Eleven is a food destination, really.
Well, that's the thing. That's why you can't complain too much, is because otherwise, why would you come here, right? But no, I mean, I was just, I got, you know, I came into the meltdown, I parked, I was like, let's go to 7-Eleven, you know? I would rather have like a big bucket of noodles, but that wasn't on the table.
Is bucket of noodles still open?
Yeah, well, not on Sundays, that's the thing, they're all Christian. It's sad, really.
Big bucket of ramen, without even that much soup in it. Just yeah. Eat a big brick of ramen. That's like lightly boiled.
That's what I'd like to do. Make me feel 25 again.
Today's cheat day. What did you have for cheat day?
I found out. Erin came back from wherever she was, and she. I was like, well, it's cheat day, so I'm. I could eat anything I want, but then I was playing Minecraft, and I was too lazy to get up to eat food. And
did you waste a cheat day?
And then I thought I was because it was like 4:30 when Erin came back, and I was like, "Fuck, man, we got some catching up to do." And she said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Cheat day." She said, "We don't get a cheat day this week." I said, "Why?" She's like, "We had pizza on Wednesday." Wednesday. I don't even remember. We cheated on Wednesday.
Boo.
Like, it wasn't even good pizza, whatever it was. It was like...
Well, now she's going to spin class every day. Yeah. She's on day 7, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Is that going to inspire you to maybe get a little fitness kick yourself? Or?
I am on a fitness kick. This is as fitness kick as I get, is trying to be on a diet. I'm not going to go to spin class, no. It's not going to happen.
You should go. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Douglas Adams died on a treadmill.
Is he dead?
You know,
I don't know a lot of things about people. Well, I mean, who keeps track of who died? That seems like depressing, right?
Well, I wasn't trying to keep track.
I was just being defensive, overly defensive. It's nothing you've done. So. Yeah.
I brought you up here early because you made a new friend.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I guess.
Spencer's been hanging out with a mutual friend of ours. He's been really logging some quality time with him, and he it's a blossoming friendship.
Do you feel jealous?
No,
he does.
I'm very curious.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're curious about.
Should we bring him out and talk about your friendship?
You do whatever you want, man.
Do you think it'll negatively affect the friendship to talk about it?
I know. I mean, it couldn't help. No, no, do it.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jack Nicholson.
No, it's Nicolas Cage.
Whatever it was, that would
be great.
Let's bring to the stage Spencer's new friend, Real Abed. Abed Gaith.
Abed Gaith to the stage.
Real Abed. Real Abed. Slightly less dimensionalized than my creation.
Oh, yeah!
Sorry, I killed the song, didn't I?
No, you tagged it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's been a while since you've been up here.
Can I say something?
Yep.
So those lights, the new ones? Oh, you mean these ones?
Yeah.
Because the orange ones kind of remind me of, like, the restaurant at Pirates of the Caribbean. It's like, remember you go by and you're like, fuck, I'm going to eat at that restaurant like tonight.
The blue bayou.
I keep going wanting to do it. I never do it. It's like, this is the time. I'm going to do it this time.
I had the same memory. That's exactly what I was thinking of. Like last week, I called him something like a Caribbean bungalow or something like that.
It looks kind of Caribbean.
It didn't sound like it made any sense, but that's what I was thinking of, is a fucking restaurant that you go through.
Yeah, because
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Doesn't it look like the most amazing restaurant?
It looks like it would be great to eat there.
It's not that great.
No, the conversation
from that side,
those people are really into the ride.
It looks like a great restaurant.
Oh no, those people, like, they're kind of into it, but one person's scared.
Once in a while, like when you're on that ride, when you get on Pirates of the Caribbean, and you just start moving, and right in the right is the Blue Bayou restaurant. It's really quiet. It's very tranquil.
Called the Blue Bayou.
The Blue Bayou.
No, I knew that. I did. I for some reason thought it was Pirates of the Caribbean, the restaurant.
Pirates of the Caribbean, the ride restaurant.
That's the ride restaurant. Pirates of the Caribbean, the movie, the ride, the restaurant.
It'd be amazing if on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, you started as regular passengers, and then like most of those rides, you get kind of indoctrinated into the thing. And like if you got actually turned into a pirate the ride, and then at the end, you got to pillage the restaurant.
You steal somebody's butter.
Yeah, you go get them, me hearties. And you're just like, fuck you, give me your butter.
Dude, have you seen? I've seen some of these old pirate movies. They don't fuck around. Like, they really stab and bite and like, cling to the barnacle like there's no tomorrow.
They'll cling to the barnacle. What movie did you see a pirate clinging to a barnacle?
It was Blackbeard the Pirate. It was that movie. It was really awesome, but it was fucked up, man. That Blackbeard is quite a character.
I think barnacles are famous for their clinging.
My treasure, and it's like you can't fuck with him. Like I was like, I'd never fuck with Blackbeard. I would never fuck with him.
I would see you being a pretty valuable shipmate if you're on a pirate ship. I'd see you.
Yeah, I mean, if I
were a captain, I think I could put you to some good use.
You look like probably. You could tie some knots.
Yeah, I could like tie knots. Well, you know, I could do that, but I would choose to just be like a survivor. I'd probably hide like high up. So whenever there's a crazy mutiny, I'm just like watching it like, oh my God, oh my God. Good thing I climbed up here. Holy shit.
Every time there's like, a mutiny.
But what if Blackbeard, what
it's
if
a mutiny every, like,
what if your captain
seconds.
Is Blackbeard and he goes, Arbed, get down here and join the fray.
You call me Argbed, get down here, Arg.
How can you not be partaking in this week's mutiny?
I would be the ship's jester, so that would suck. Did you say to entertain him? So he'd always know if I was missing.
Did you just say
yeah, like, where is that Argbed with his comedy?
Argbed.
Get over here.
So they would just call you Argbed because they wouldn't be able to pronounce Abed.
I know, yeah.
Well, he just like, loves saying Arg. Yeah.
He gets mad when he starts saying it, so he's like, Arg, and then he remembers Bed, and he goes, Bed, Arg Bed, all right.
I always wonder that too. Like, could you climb up, like up there?
Mast.
Could you just stay out of trouble?
I think so, because they had like this cool Swiss Family Robinson deal, where it was like
you're a sitting duck up there. The people have harquebuses and blunderbusses and whatnot, so just fucking you're a sitting duck.
No, but if no one sees you, like you climb out in the middle of the night when everyone's
just hide in
away.
That crow's nest.
Was there a murmur about harquebus?
Yeah, what is that?
Harquebus. It's another matchlock gun. It's like a precursor, I believe, to a blunder. It's like a longer rifle.
Hmm. Yeah. Anyway. Well, those pirate movies, though, they're pretty nuts. Let me tell you. The old ones. It looks like you're on the ride. Like it's amazing. Like everything looks like a set. It's beautiful. It's like.
You know where Shiver My Timbers comes from?
That's from. Are you in the bounty?
No. You have to answer. Why did you just leap into? Oh, that's I got that one.
Oh, okay, I got this one, guys. Jesus.
I mean, I don't know for sure. I've heard one story about where we get the term
Shiver Me Timbers.
Where would you think Abed, real Abed?
I would say like it would have to be like an old pirate movie, but it might be a pirate series. You know, I'm gonna go with pirate movie. Maybe it's. Captain Courageous or something? Captain's Courageous?
Yeah. I believe it actually comes from actual pirate like terminology.
I assume it's just your boat's made out of wood, and if it's shivering, like if there's if you're in high seas and it's really scary out, the foremost way of knowing that you're in deep shit is that your timbers are shaking, your boat's like creaking.
From what I read, it was one of the most common injuries when you got hit by like a broadside cannonball, it wasn't the cannonball that was like likely to hit you. It was going to hit the wood, and you would get hit by splinters, and they called those shivers.
So
you died by getting shrapneled with wood. If it didn't kill you outright, you would die of infection eventually because you just had gross, rotting ship wood stuck in
ship
your body.
Ship wood, huh? Well, you know, I would have thought that it's just like the guy's balls, and he's like cold, and he's like, oh, my timbers are shivering. Oh! That's what I thought. Like, it's something funny like that. And he leaps into this, like, dark, like, splinters attacking you like a crazy Hellraiser movie.
Yeah, I know. What's with that guy?
Yeah, I know.
What is he, crazy?
I know. Well,
So you and Spencer have been hanging out.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say this because, like... It's odd that he says this.
No,
is that better?
It's the premise.
It's strange that you would bring that up because it's the topic of the conversation
enough.
That just started.
It's crazy that you bring that up. Interesting enough. No, I don't know. No, but see, I've been his friend from the get-go. You know, from like the first time I hung out here a couple times.
From
I was
Jump
like,
Street.
Yeah, I would be at that crazy karaoke place, and for some reason, like, me and him always just clicked. I mean, I would just make jokes, and then he would laugh. And then we just hang out, and I found out,
this
guy likes muffins, he likes Magic the Gathering. It's like, you know, we find that we have stuff in common. Kind of.
Right.
Muffins.
This was kind of weird to me, because Spencer's not a big laugher, and you're not.
And he hates muffins.
He
Very candid joke around would be.
Yeah, they would feel like, how do I get the map away from here? You know, like,
well, their laughter limits would be tested. Like,
I take people to laughter limits.
I find it very easy to be dry when I'm listening to you make jokes.
Well, I'm not
tempted to like guffaw.
Well, every relationship I have in that sense is like I'm always the the Costello, and everyone else is the Abbott. Just like, what are you doing now? Like, really? Come on, Costello.
Yes,
don't
you
do that.
You Abbottify a planet.
Yeah, I'll just be like, well, you know, Abbott, it's Babadoo. And like, if everyone, nobody really, like, they're like, we're in a supermarket. What is happening that's Babadoo? You know, I don't understand. Yeah, it's like they look around because, like, you have to kind of put on the parental hat to be like, all right, what is really, can we just get to the bottom of why I came here?
So, where do you guys hang out? Do you guys go get soup or do you
No, well, I mean, we hang out at a place. We get muffins.
We get Portos. Yeah, we go to the bakery Portos.
You get pornos.
We go to the 7-Eleven. Back to back, though.
They
nothing
sell
weird.
Muffins and pornography.
Have you rented the movie Shipwood?
Oh, man, Shipwood.
Shipwood.
Dude, if I ever got Shipwood, you'd have to put a bullet in my arm. It's like, there's no turning back from Shipwood.
What was the crossover for you guys being acquaintances that you'd met through mutual friends to...
No, I met through you guys being the mutual
friends.
Right,
so what was the... What was
I mean,
the,
most
the
recently,
turning point?
It was when we went to the fair together, I think, the Renaissance Fair.
Was that it?
I think we were hanging out a few times before that.
Yeah,
but
maybe,
I mean,
but
most
like,
recently, yeah.
That's probably the last
so
time.
So right behind my back. Like I was there.
In front of your face. I mean, you were there, too.
Like under my nose and behind my back.
So you are jealous about this.
It wasn't like we were trying to hide it, like run around and have a friendship behind a corner. Like, you're right. You were there on the trip.
I'm not jealous. I just...
I feel like I'm cheating on you.
I'd like to be notified of new friendships. I don't want to have to find out about them accidentally.
Should I notify you about every friendship that I... Well, can I tell you something? Like, my friendships are weird. Oh, wait, go ahead.
No, I was just watching.
I remember... There's this one time I was driving around because I was smoking. It was early morning on a Sunday morning. And you were on Twitter and you were talking about how you were driving around in the morning on Twitter. And then we started tweeting at each other while we were driving.
Yeah,
and we were like, we should go run our cars into each other.
Yeah, because we made a joke. Because I was like, wait a minute, if he's tweeting and driving, that's kind of dangerous.
Yeah.
You guys get up early in the morning, go to a bakery?
That's how it started.
Up all night, actually.
Yeah, he was up this morning.
Up all night because of those amazing breakfast burritos by my house. And I'm like, I'm going to get him this time. And like, I waited. And it was like 6 a.m. And I'm like, then I'm tweeting about it because I'm like, I got to stay awake for that burrito. So I drove around to stay awake.
But we were tweeting each other. Oh, wait, you talk.
I'm just saying, I'm jealous because your lives are more exciting than mine.
Yeah. They're not that exciting.
I haven't looked forward to anything that much in the last 20 years.
Yeah, so we were driving. We were driving around, waiting. What do they have?
Great.
When you guys hang out, do you talk at the same time?
Yeah,
like this?
Definitely.
No, it's kind of like it's give and take. You know, it's like sometimes I gotta hold back. Sometimes he's gotta hold back.
I'm holding back.
You know what I mean? It's like a tug of war.
Yeah.
It's like I'm tugging. Okay, now he's going to tug.
It's a real contest of wills.
It's like a tug of war. We're trying to throw the fight.
What does it look like? As someone who's known you for nigh unto 13 years, I'd like to know what it looks like when you hold back. Show me. I guess
if I'm mad, I'll just be quiet. It's weird. It sucks.
Yeah, he's usually mad.
Well, just show me for a second. Pretend you're holding back. So, Abed, man, I really love alternative music. I wish there was somebody I could talk to about it.
That's not very holding it back.
God. No, actually, I don't really have much to say about alternative music. I mean, that's in the answer. I mean, that's in what it is.
Yeah, I didn't land that bit very well.
No. I don't have a theory on that. Like, if you maybe change the topic, maybe that would be harder for me to resist.
Yeah, I wish I knew more about tornadoes or nuclear subs. Oh, he's holding
that's,
back.
That's more Spencer's bailiwick, I would think.
Sure is. Yeah, what do you need to know about tornadoes?
Spencer. See, you guys compliment it. You guys complete each other.
That's what it is.
I saw this movie.
It's like if Wikipedia was hanging out with, I don't know, yeah. Grindr? What are you?
Grindr?
I don't know how to characterize you.
Grindr?
Wikipedia and Grindr is the perfect storm.
More like a cake website where you buy cakes. And then I am like, what is this Grindr? Like you grind shit? No, I know what it is.
Spencer, do you have a take on nuclear subs? I saw you kind of light up over there.
Oh, I mean, they're not really nuclear. It's a common misconception.
See, he wouldn't hold back.
They run on a nuclear fuel source, don't they?
Well, they run on a nucleated fuel source.
What's the difference, Spencer Crittenden?
That's a word, nucleated? Did you just make that up?
Yeah, I did.
No, I've never heard that before.
Guys, I mean,
I was intrigued. I was like, oh my God, my vocabulary.
I want to go get a muffin with you guys so bad.
Yeah, we haven't been the last few times. Uh-huh. Yeah, we haven't
There's
been.
Also a zany comic candy shop right next door.
Oh, yeah, Rocket Fizz.
Yeah, it's like got crazy, like it's got candy from the 70s. It's probably been there since the 70s.
It's, yeah.
Dan,
it's old candy.
I'm jealous too now. I don't know if you are. I don't like anything that's going on up here.
It's not very often. I mean, we just played Magic today. It was fun.
For like 6 hours, right?
It was about well,
no,
three
I was,
hours.
I fucking can play that game till the cows come home. It's
a great
fun.
Game, Magic.
It's really... Well, it's so nerdy.
I bet you were saying backstage that you felt a little guilty because you attacked Spencer and you felt like he didn't take it well, but you said that's part...
Oh, yeah. Well, because when we play Magic... this is going to bore anyone here that doesn't play Magic.
I doubt it.
But anyway, much like this guy's Minecraft obsession, like I played Magic when I was in high school. I really liked it. I was really good at it. And then I just put it away for a while, and then every once in a while, I'll meet someone that wants to play, and my deck is still sitting there. So I'm like, all right, might as well dust this off. And we played, and like, I noticed something that when we play in a group, if like, let's say I attack Spencer, he's gonna feel like, oh man, are you pissed off at me or something?
I'll just be enraged.
Yeah, it's like, he's mad, and it's like, it's not personal, dude, it's a game.
It's personal.
Like, this guy's amassing a crazy army. I have to stop him. It's like nothing to do with me liking her or not liking Spencer. And then, like, no matter what, he'll get mad. Just like, all right, now I'm going to really fuck him up.
We play
and he, like, does.
We play in these big groups, and it's all political. So, like, I become a character. I tell people what to do and, like, try and get people to do things that benefit me because
no,
that's
he's
a big
like
part
a,
of it.
Yeah, he's, like, kind of like the puppet master, and he watches you dance.
I don't know the game. Is there a dungeon master or is everybody a player?
No, you're all playing the same game, but, you know, in theory, it's like you're all fighting. So if I was like, hey, man, it'd be better if you punched him in the face here and then I could kick him in the leg. It's kind of like that, where
it's like
if you do this
nature.
Here, that'll help me out, but I'm trying to convince you why it would help you out, too.
Imagine if you could be as violent as possible with spells and creatures, but no, like, there's no drawbacks. Like, no one's going to put you in jail. I mean, that's where this guy shines. He comes through like a fucking zenith, and he's just like crazy. Zenith's the word, I don't know. A phoenix, and then he just like just destroys and it takes everyone apart. It's he beat me with like 900 points.
I dealt 900.
Yeah, and I'm like 900. Like I'd have to be playing this game for 70 hours to get 900.
Normally,
points.
You do 20 damage to kill someone as well.
Yeah, I know.
I want to go to the bakery part, not the magic part.
Yeah. No, well, the bakery part's like
I just had lost time. Like on X-Files?
Yeah. No, that's what I said.
The clock just changed from 8:39 to 8:49. That conversation proves there's a paranormal force in the world.
It's a paranormal.
It's evidence of the unknown.
Yeah, evidence of the paranormans that are normal. No, they'd be more like a paranormans that are mull, like bad.
Abed, what do you?
I can't get out of that one. Just...
What do you think is the worst? if you don't want to answer, don't, because I mean.
Oh, you mean the game again where I try not to answer?
No. I'm going into my in-depth interview.
All right. I'll put on my Larry King answering hat.
What do you think the worst thing you've ever done?
Oh, the worst
to
thing
another person
to
is.
Another person. Oh my God! One thing comes to mind, but it's not that bad because I had it done back to me. So does that cancel it out?
I don't know. Is it just a pillow fight or?
I want to say.
If so, yeah, then
you gotta tell us about
say,
it.
God, it sucks to admit this because it's fucked up.
Good.
But I was like, I can't remember. Well, God, there's two things.
Should What's I say the both worst? Of them? Say the worst.
Start with the better one.
Okay, the better one is like I peed in a cup, and then I put it in the freezer, and it was nice and cold because I figured coldness will detect they won't be able to detect its piss. And then I mixed it with like a little bit of Country Time.
When you say he, who's the target on this one?
Oh, my cousin. Okay. I can't remember what he did to me. And then I served it to him just like, oh my God, it's so hot outside, dude. Have some lemonade. And first of all,
did you put any lemonade in it, or was it just pee?
I was trying to like mask the taste, so I
put you put like powdered Country Time.
No, the kind in the can, I think, or the bottle, whatever it was.
You mixed your pee, your refrigerated pee with lemonade.
Yeah, what else?
And served it to your cousin on a hot day.
Lemonade.
That's fucking horrible.
I want to hit pause. Spencer, at what temperature does pee freeze?
Oh, that'd be 32 degrees Celsius.
Wow.
Celsius.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just make all it up. It's just all made up.
I think it's the temperature that pee boils at.
All right. So what happened with your cousin? Did he drink the pee?
I was shocked, first of all, that because I was so scared. I'm like, he's not just going to accept a glass of lemonade out of the blue. I'm just standing right there like, have some lemonade. And it's like, wait a minute. You're giving me lemonade. Like, I would be suspicious. But he was just like, oh, yeah. He just tried it. Then I have this feeling in my mind of, like, success but failure. Because it's like wait, this
so,
is like
so you're
up.
Telling me that if someone offered you a glass of lemonade, your first thought would be, this might be his pee, and yet,
No one just offers you lemonade.
And yet, when Justin told you famously once that Lindsay Lohan was coming over to his apartment so you should clean up and get a six-pack of beer, you did it.
When was that?
This is years ago.
I don't remember that.
But I'm saying you are famously
first of
gullible.
All, I've never been that amazed by Lindsay Lohan, so I question.
I know, but I don't think that you were like, I'm your biggest fan, but you were like, she's a celebrity.
Maybe
I
if it was like
up.
Mandy Moore in her heyday, I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm over there. Holy shit, Mandy
you're
Moore.
Famously gullible. Like,
yeah, right, I know, like, but I don't. Well, whatever. No, but look, see, this is like one of those things where it's a learning lesson because you're like, oh man, I got to do this just because I can do it. But then you're like later going like, what did this serve? This served no.
So he,
no
you
point.
Didn't tell, you didn't
made,
tell him. And he didn't
I told
notice.
Him later.
Okay, like, no. So
you told him later after he drank the whole.
Yeah, he drank the whole thing.
Take
us. He sucked it down like it was like his own piss. He didn't give a fuck.
Wait a second.
And like it was Waterworld.
Right. Yeah. Like Dennis Hopper in Waterworld. He's like,
Abed, take us through the denouement. He brings the cup up to his mouth, and what happens next?
He drank the whole thing.
Yeah,
he guzzled down the all.
He took a couple sips, and then he was
like it
like,
was his own piss.
He was enjoying it as though he had just poured himself an ice cold glass of his own
I was,
urine.
Like, watching it, and it was like fascination and horror because I'm like,
you would have
the
thought
moment?
It was the guy's own Wait. Urine the way he. Guzzled it.
Hang on. He didn't detect anything was wrong with the lemonade?
No, he just drank it a couple times.
How much lemonade? What was the ratio
was the
to
ratio?
Real lemonade?
Yeah, it must have been a lot.
It's probably like this much pee.
He's holding up a solo cup with
two fingers of pee.
I was peeing in a cup. I was like, oh, I don't want it to be too full. And then I had to like move aside, and I got maybe that much. And then
you topped it off. So it was what, like 60, 70% lemonade?
I would say like 70% lemonade.
With just just that whisper of,
a whisper of
just
urine,
a suggestion of stranger's piss.
All right.
I would love a lemonade with suggestion of piss.
So he gets through it. Does he ever go like, that's terrible lemonade.
No, I think he drinks it, and because there's like the ratios over, you know, more lemonade than piss, he can taste more of the lemonade. So he's kind of like, he's like, it looks like he's gonna freak out, but he doesn't. Cause I'm on like pins and needles. I'm like, yeah, yeah, ooh, oh shit. And then it's like he doesn't know, and I'm like, you get away with it, and you're like, fuck, I feel horrible. You know, it's like, I won, but I don't feel like I won. I feel like I really did something bad.
Did
like,
you ever tell him? Wrong is with he gonna find out by listening?
Yeah,
to
no, he didn't. He nothing happened, later. And then like later I told him, and then he freaked out, just like, how could you do that? Oh, I mean, rightly so. Yeah. I mean, rightfully so. It's like, yeah. I mean,
we did ask for the worst thing.
Yeah,
ever
but
done.
I was like, I told him, I was like, I can't believe you couldn't tell. Like, that's
shame on you.
Yeah, like, holy shit, I was waiting for you to kind of like figure it out.
You drank
like,
that shit. Like, is your it own possible? Piss.
Yeah, he drank it like it was. There's no.
Is
tomorrow.
It possible that your piss is delicious? That it's not too tart, not too sweet.
It's like a 12-year-old boy, maybe, but not now. I mean, I was like ripe and no alcohol attached to my lips.
I connected different
it's
dots
like peach
there.
Peach iced tea.
The tangy sweet taste of Flintstones vitamins.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit of Centrum too. Throw it in. On those Centrum crazy weekends, we're like, I'm gonna have a Centrum. Fuck it. You know.
Fucking grandpa's away.
Yeah, they're at the park. Centrum. And you eat like seven Centrums.
What was the other, was that worse?
Yeah,
than
you
the
said there were two
thing?
Things.
Was that worse than the second thing? Or
yeah, that, I think that is worse. Just because when I was doing it, I was feeling so guilty. But the other time was like
the worst thing is when he peed in his brother's pee, because his brother loves to drink his own pee. It's one thing to spike Country Time lemonade, but.
Spike Brothers P, they're going to know. Yeah. I mean, yeah. All brother, yeah.
All right, sorry. Go ahead.
God, it's like, but this is the one that it happened to me later in life, which deservingly so, I couldn't get mad because I was like, well, I did do that to somebody. And anyway, I did this to my brother. I took like cayenne pepper and I put it in water. And then I put it in a super soaker, and then I went up to him and squirted his eyes. And like,
I think that's worse.
In a way, yeah, that's pretty bad. I know. And he was like screaming.
I think that's called aggravated assault.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It was so evil and rotten. And I remember my mom being like, "Who are you? Like, who does that? Are you like a Bond supervillain? Yes. Like, you know, like that's like not like you. You're not evil. You're not manipulative and crazy. Like." And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, sometimes you get mad. You just gotta strike out and then strike back. And then what happened was later in life, I was hanging out with Justin, right? And I fell asleep at his house. And of course, when you hang out with Justin and he's like, woohoo! In one of his moods, he doesn't want you to fall asleep. He needs a partner in crime. So he got so mad that I fell asleep that he wakes me up and then he just dumps like water with cayenne pepper in my eyes. You know, like just like wake up. And then like screaming.
Did he do that because he knows that you had done that in
the past? No. I think I told him later.
Really?
And then, yeah, because I said like I was like, you know, I didn't really get that mad because I kind of deserved it.
Right.
And he was like, oh no shit. And then I told him the story. And anyway, but what's crazy is like I just remember like I think I was in a dream. And then I just woke up to, like, instant pain and blindness.
If you jump cayenne pepper water on somebody while they're sleeping, you better be certain they're not going to murder you after
that. No, I was like, I felt it was a nightmare because I was in so much pain, but I was like, what's happening? Like, where am I? Like,
I was at a slumber party one time when a girl stepped on my hand and I just, asleep, punched her and knocked her out. If somebody fucking actually abused me while I was asleep, it would be murder.
Wait, she just woke you up? Like,
I was sleeping and she was trying to go to the kitchen. I was in college and people were all laying all over the floor.
Oh, yeah, like in 16
and
candles.
And it was very, exactly. And she walked and like stepped on my wrist.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
It went bang, and it really hurt her.
Oh my god!
Did you punch her in the vagina? Huh? You're laying down.
She was kind of crawling, and I socked her in the head.
Oh, she was
like,
crawling
right in the temple.
You having a dream about Raging Bull?
Oh, Jesus Christ! What the fuck? I'm like, what's happening? I don't know what's going on. I'm asleep.
He was in a boxing
ring. If I woke up
dream.
And somebody's standing above me, laughing, pouring, fucking.
It was like King Hippo, and then he like
he like punches him in the dream and he wakes up and it's like a girl.
No, what
that's
I love
the worst.
I have a big collection of my friends when they pass out at parties. I will put things on them, but it's all stuff that they wake up it comes off. Like no ink, like no like in like Sharpie markers.
Yeah,
or
like no fucking cayenne pepper.
But
and
like
water.
I'll put signs on them. Right, I covered Dan in Post-it notes one time, and you're a little Post-it monster. For
me and Justin once drew like a penis on a girl's face, and that was funny. Because that's like harmless. You know, it was with a Sharpie, but...
The best photo I've ever taken was when Jay Johnson passed out, and I made a duct tape. I took some duct tape and a Sharpie marker and made a mustache. So he had like a nice big handlebar mustache made out of duct tape. And then this girl whose house we were at, she had like Playboy bunny ears, so I put those on his head. And what the amazing thing was, you couldn't wake Jay up. You didn't have to tiptoe around. You could speak full-voiced.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, hand me those Playboy bunny ears. Like, give me those. Because we had put a million...
I'm so jealous of those kind of sleepers.
I had him dressed up as a full, like, as an old lady. Like, he looked like a Monty Python old lady. And he had, like, 1,000 pieces of clothes on. He was just... never moved a muscle. And then I made a big sign. He had the Playboy bunny ears on. And I just made a sign around his neck. It said, racist.
That's amazing.
It's a great picture. Yeah. I have that on my phone. It's pretty amazing.
He asked me to remove it from my phone. I said, but can I keep it? He goes, you can keep it, but you can't show it to people.
I have it on my phone.
You have it on your phone?
But I don't show it to anybody.
I mean, maybe you do, but we don't know. You show it to Jay, though, right?
No, I wouldn't. He would pound me into the earth.
Yeah, but why? I mean, if you're on your deathbed, it's totally, like, fine.
The reason Jay let me keep it, because even he agreed it's a very good picture.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been a crime to delete that thing.
Or if you're about really to go into a coma, you'll be like, dude, before this coma, got to see this picture, dog.
All right.
Shit. No, I got to tell you one thing. So Justin did that to me, and then his mom made him feel bad. Like, he was, like, fine with it until she's like, how could you do that to your friend?
I feel like I'm watching a stand-up show on Nickelodeon. All right.
No, that's like, well, dude, that's our lives together, man. When I met him, I'm like, man,
you ever sleeping over at a friend's house? They do some shit. Then they mom get mad.
Yeah,
you're like, I didn't do nothing. She's like, what are you doing? I don't know. She's not my mom.
It's like,
we'll be right back.
It's like some Keenan and Kel shit right here, Nick. You know what I'm saying?
You said 3/4 of the N-word.
I know.
I mean, Nickelodeon.
It's like
Nickelodeon. Okay.
Were you doing Nickelodeon? is that what he said? Did I say that, or was I repeating somebody else saying Nickelodeon?
All right.
Hey, man, someone
if that's
must
not the title of
that.
This episode, I'll eat my fucking hat.
You have to name it that, dude. He's going to eat a hat.
Let's all protect ourselves and make him feel awkward by bringing up DeMorge Brown!
Do I move down like Letterman?
No, don't move down.
Oh, okay.
Just behave yourself.
It's so hot in here.
All right.
Hello, DeMorge.
Not awkward at all.
Yeah, I brought you up because one time you substituted for Aaron when we played D&D. I thought it went quite well.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I do. I judge. I sit and I judge. who did well in D&D this week?
You judge D. And D.
I mean, you're gonna.
No, I had to get that one out.
Right.
Yeah. You can't sit on that fucking fucking ingot of gold all night long.
It was a two-parter. It was a D and a D.
Don't keep your light under a bushel.
Like you're Judge D, D and D. Like Judge Judy?
Judge Dredd? What was
yeah,
that?
Yeah, like Judge Dredd, but he's in a hurry. He's like Judge D. He's like, I gotta get
it's
out of the house.
The same amount
right
of syllables.
Right.
Wow. Everyone's like so fast these days. They got to zip through words.
I know.
Sorry. Anyway.
what are a couple of old fellas like us supposed to do in this world?
I know. I'm sitting here pronouncing shit.
What's going to happen when you get old and cranky?
Oh, God. Who knows? Probably get. I'll get taken down like a fucking wild deer.
I think you'll be like a crazy. You'll be like the guy that. You'll be the get off my lawn guy.
Yeah.
Get off my lawn, you rotten kids. Jesus.
But not like that. Like you'll be for real. You'll be yourself, and you'll be all frantic,
know,
and you'll be like not wanting
but
them on
I'll
your
be
lawn.
Like,
I see him more
much
as a get on my lawn kind of guy. Just like kids, get on my lawn. don't go by that guy's house.
Yeah, his house. Yeah.
He wants you on his lawn.
Stay here.
Don't go past Old Man Abed's house. He'll come out and wash your windshield.
I like that me and Demore.
You're probably like always out. You're just always out on your front lawn looking for
kids. Yeah, I'm always, because it's like, man, it's so boring in there. What's going on out in this world? Whoa. Kids coming by.
Oh, man. You're going to make them watch Farscape?
Our frisbee went over the fence into old man Gates' house. Oh, man, don't go in there. Last time I went there, he burned me a CD.
Yeah. He like,
it's pretty good, but still. It took like 3 hours. I had to hear about all the track information, and it was fucking...
Burned me a CD and then downloaded all of Farscape.
I'd sit him through like five. Like, wait, okay, first five episodes. Come on, but we'll get through.
This
seven.
Is how we met.
Yeah. You actually gave me Dark Place. I gave it to
Dan, but you were in the office and you said, "Can I take this?"
Oh, that's,
and then you said,
oh,
"In return, I'll give you Farscape." And I said, "I don't know where that is." And then I lost 3 months of my life sitting on a couch.
I still need a copy of Dark Place, Garth Marenghi's.
Put it on your desk.
Still have the same copy.
That was a copy that Bill Hader gave me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
You took it.
No, I didn't take it. You said, "All right, you can borrow it." And then me and like Chilean.
And then a year later, you said, "I still have your copy. It's in the truck." It was an Aegis truck.
Oh, it was.
At Big Fish.
Now time just passed for me.
It's like
cock-a-doodle-doo.
It's just a regular old podcast. It's just Mike and his friends.
I actually have a George Takei story.
Hey, who borrowed my hoe? I know my garden hoe. I gave it to you the other day.
Jim Orge, you said you had a George Takei story.
Barely. It's me and Josh Fadem actually, and we went to get sushi in Little Tokyo at a place called Frying Fish, which is a carousel.
Frying Fish.
Yeah, it's a
carousel. Give it up for Frying Fish, yo, everybody.
Abed.
That's it.
I'm just saying. Someone's got to represent.
Demorge is up here now.
Okay. But
Abed is too. Let's be fair.
Imagine that you did move down the couch.
Oh, like mentally.
Yeah, mentally move down the couch.
You should have specified.
I'm going to watch that happen.
Yeah, no.
Okay, it just happened. Right. And we're sitting in two chairs next to each other. I'm with Josh Fadem. The stools are very close together, very small, so you can't even keep things in your pockets. So my phone's out, my notebook's out. And we're well into this sushi thing. I'm eating some kind of dragon surprise shit. And
That's just pee.
Yeah. With a tiny bit of green tea. And my phone goes off. It's a text. I look at it. It's from Josh, who is sitting next to me. Wow. So I furrow my brow like this, and I'm like, this fucking better be good. And I open it, and it says, Sulu. And I've just been cranking this in the second and a half, just, what the fuck? And I look up, and as I look up, I see Takei, and I go, Sulu!
She!
And he's staring right at us, and then he just smiles and goes, no. Like,
hey, can I replicate
his
laugh?
That's a story.
It's like, he laughs like the cat.
He's Mr. Magoo?
No, it's like, he laughs like the count. It's cool, though. It's a cool laugh. You laugh like that, right?
Yes.
It's like that kind of laugh.
It was that, yeah. Cool, he had a skip in his throat.
What is it that happens to you when you come on stage?
Me?
Yeah, are you thinking, like, I gotta... Like, you kind of... You remind me of Fozzie Bear. Like.
You said that before.
You're kind of like... You like the show must go on. Like you really.
Well,
like,
no, I mean,
he's a showman, Dan. He's a showman.
How does Fozzie Bear laugh?
Oh, Kermit! Wait, it's like kind of. It's like waka waka. No, it's like,
no, that's
it's
all like, the family. That's Edith.
Is it like that? Oh, Kermit, you're so funny.
That's so funny.
Will somebody do me a favor online when this podcast drops is play that against Fozzie Bear?
Let's see how accurate that is.
Walk, that's not a laugh. It's like just...
Abed, give me some Miss Piggy.
Like, oh, Kermit, what? I really love you.
That's actually quite good. Right, well, quite good. All
right. Hi-ya! All right.
give me some Swedish Chef. That was easy.
Yeah, give me some Roosevelt Franklin.
Which one is he again? Or her?
Exactly.
He's the president.
Nobody knows who Roosevelt is.
I can do the fish guy. It's
he's
like
the Franklin. He's the Franklin of Sesame Street.
I can do the fish guy. The guy that throws fish. What's his name? He's like, whoa!
He's that guy.
All right.
Yeah, he's that guy.
But if I keep you up here,
well, look, I'll behave. I know where you're going with this. I've known you a long time. I can tell where you're going with this.
I mean, I actually feel like you might be a good playing D&D. Like,
I played before.
He'll be a good Christopher Bird.
I'm not sure. It's like he's like a human road flare. Like I don't know how to work him, and I read the instructions and I go, here's Abbott, and then it's like people are losing eyes and stuff. And I don't, or it just doesn't work. It just lays there.
Demorge, did you play Mulrain or Christopher Bird last time you were here? I forget.
I was the Mulrain. Unicorn last time I was here.
Oh, so you had not played.
No, wasn't Demorge played Mulrain Sedana?
Now Mulrain is gone. So we can cast whoever as Dignity.
First time I was Mulrain.
I was the guy last time that sung Lady in Red.
I would have Abed play Christopher Bird, yes, and have Demorge play
Dignity
Sarsgaard.
Aaron committed seppuku last time and reemerged as a new character that sounds a lot like the old character. So she has just different name.
So she didn't lose a step.
No.
Yeah. Well, unicorns are. I'll stop.
What
are
don't
you,
stop.
What are unicorns?
Whenever you, Abed, whenever you hesitate, hit the gas pedal.
Yeah. Oh man. I was watching Seinfeld. I need an opposite George kind of thing. Because that would help me out.
I don't ever fucking balk up here. I want you to fucking throw high and hard.
Well, I mean, unicorns, like, they kind of, they have more than a step. They have sort of a glide, right?
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
It's like, you know that, it's like you see them glide and then rainbow sprinkles come from behind their hooves kind of thing. That's how they move.
Is there anything, I was listening to some podcast. It was people talking about all the things that they were personally humiliated to find out they didn't know until they were much, much too old. Like, one of the example that reminded me of is there's a girl who was telling a story of how she thought that unicorns were real animals until she was like 30 at a party. And it was like at a party and people were talking about endangered animals, and she piped in with like, what about unicorns? Are they endangered? And like found out then
what?
That she just thought that.
Oh, I so wish I was there. That's awesome.
But you know what? She had the best 30 years of anyone's life.
Well, that's the thing. There's a lot of people, yeah, like well, I mean, I can't remember what the other examples were.
She didn't spend any of those 30 years seeking one out, like going to find. Like,
where would you see one?
She just figured that they were in Africa or something. I don't know. I don't know where she thought they were, but.
Wherever rainbows.
That's fantastic.
I went to school with a girl who, she was a new student when I was in ninth grade, I think, or eighth grade, ninth grade, who failed her first exam because she was convinced she had been taught, as her parents angrily stated later, that the South had won the war.
Whoa, that's...
She'd gone to an academy, and they brought in, like, her work, and it was just a book that had rationalized the whole thing and had created this whole... This is where she had gone to school.
That's like evil Santa Claus line, you know? Like, one step... Because Santa Claus is bad, but that's fucking worse.
Wait. Abed, go on.
I mean, like... I'm saying, like, you lie to a kid about Santa Claus.
We were
it's
talking about
bad.
This.
Oh.
Yeah, so, and but we were, yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, if you lie about that shit, that's like fucking with a kid's sense of history. Like, that's bullshit. I mean, like,
well,
that
I don't
poor
think
kid.
I don't get the impression that they told the kid the South won the war so that they would think that they were living in a better world. I think they. Is that what it was?
She took this exam. They made her take the test because she'd gotten there on a Tuesday or something. And the test was on Friday, so just to be part of school. And a lot of it was blue book stuff. And I guess the teacher like kind of was frazzled, lost his head over the whole thing. And on Monday, just said, "I can't even give you a grade on this, so you fail, because what are you even thinking? These opinions don't. This everything you have written is insane." And she was in tears and went crazy. Her parents came in to match for this conference. And they went step by step trying to explain that in their education, this is what the
curriculum. Like farther.
Oh, so they came in. So,
yeah,
so.
She had a book, like the text that she had used when she learned the history of the United States, editorially rationalized this sort of conclusion that was why the flag was still flown down there, and that is why. Blah,
her blah, blah, alphabet
so.
Had three K's.
Oh, my God, so it was.
Her spelling books were like they showed like you know black people as slaves still.
So
it was insane. And so the parents' argument apparently, and I know this from teachers, I was on student council, that apparently the parents' argument was that's up for debate. It depends on how you describe, how you define
what is
one.
Winning.
Had yeah, to yeah. been there. Had to be there. Had to be there.
Well, there. I mean, that's the point where it starts to actually get fascinated, because it's like, well, yeah, what the fuck? What is it? Like we.
I think unconditional surrender of your army and your ability to make war.
They signed a surrender document, didn't they?
Yeah, they signed a whole document.
Yes, but we're talking about two parents who are saying, this is why the flag is still flown on our porch down here. Like, and they're saying, we don't acknowledge that surrender document.
Why isn't there like a flag cop that shows up and he's like, so you got the wrong flag. We'll take that. This is the right one.
That would have to
why,
be.
Why isn't he doing his job?
A federal agent. Yeah. Then they sent her off.
Abbott Gage is back on an all-new flag cop. Check it out Friday.
That decision is made at the state level.
What would the pilot for flag cop be, Abed?
The pilot.
The pilot. Like,
well,
okay, no,
like,
we're a studio. You're pitching us your show, your show, flag cop.
I mean, flag cop. It's like the first episode is like.
Who is flag cop?
I mean, he's a cop who has to see if people have the right flag or not.
Okay.
If they don't, he takes them in.
Okay, so what's the pilot?
Well, the pilot's like the first episode is like his best friend from like childhood, still like he said was raised thinking the South really happened. I mean, okay. The South won the war.
The South really happened.
So it's like
still happening.
Flag
baby.
Cop is like torn between two sides. It's like
the South
he's
is still
best
happening,
friend, but he goes against everything I believe. What do I do? So it's like this. It's what's like an hour long.
What's the season finale? What's the season finale of Flat Cop? Like, take us
where he finds out that he was brainwashed as a kid and that he actually does believe in the other flag. So he has to like think like everything I've been taught is a lie.
Oh, okay.
And then you're like.
So it's just
next season. Was it really a lie or was he tricked into thinking that?
Okay. Sounds about as good as most TV these days.
Yeah, I know. Well, he didn't give me much to work with. He gave me Flag Cop.
I thought Flag
I could
Cop...
see this on Netflix.
Yeah, I would watch it.
Could Flag Cop be into different flags, or is it only about the North and the South?
Well, like in season two, he starts to go, well, the flag is kind of like cool, but I like that design on the Brazil flag. It looks like a cool globe. Right. It's all blue with stars. So he falls in love with this Brazilian girl that's like, she's really working for Brazil to kind of trick him, but he doesn't know that. So the whole season you think, oh, he just found a girlfriend, but like, she's really against him, you know?
Right.
And the last episode, we're like...
That sounds better than most TV.
It's probably first season is Confederate versus U.S. flag, and it's like a really popular show, really critically lauded. Yeah. And then second season, they do like The Wire doing the stevedores, you know?
He's right.
It's kind of like, oh, yeah, The Wire can be about any kind of wire. And then third season, they're like, okay, yeah, but seriously, how about those crack dealers?
So then third season, we go back to his roots, like who taught him about flags.
Okay.
You know, so.
When does the movie come out?
He
would be like season five.
He has there's a cool like Emmy nominated episode where he's having a toxic reaction to his medication and he meets Betsy Ross.
Well, it's like Betsy Ross
played
is
by
his great great grandfather dated. You see, so like his great 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 grandfather was like her first lover. But then she dumped him for George Washington. Wait, no, wait.
No, sorry.
Fuck, me and my history bullshit.
Don't apologize, I mean.
Yeah, anyway, you know, Betsy Ross and him almost hooked up, but then she, like, dumped him for this, like, Ron Bones, you know, CB Hollow guy that's like, and he, like, wins her over.
What does Flag Cop think of those parking lot guys that are just waving orange flags no loyalty?
This crazy, like, seizure where he's like,
They don't understand.
And he, like, goes into a seizure of,
that's
like,
kryptonite.
Like, you know, like, yeah, it's like his kryptonite. Like, he can't see flags.
No, you can just wave an orange flag at him and he'll...
Yeah, because he sees a flag trapped. Yeah. You know, like, it's like, oh, I gotta free that flag.
Is there a whole flag police department? Like, is he just one cop among many flag cops?
He's like the laughing stock of his department because everyone's like, you're just investigating flags, man. I don't know what it's like out there,
hey,
flag cop.
Oh,
he's like,
look,
hey,
look,
you know, some shit goes down with
catch
flags.
Catch any flags today?
Yeah.
Pussy. Like,
hey,
that scene in Ace
hey, Murphy.
Where they're all making
Murphy,
fun of him.
Here comes flag cop. Hey,
hey look. Hey, my flag is billowing too much in the wind. You want to fucking do something about that?
That's the pilot, is the guy's like getting made fun of like that. And then a fucking senator is killed with a flag. And the homicide department's like, fuck. I want these departments working together on this one. This is a flag crime and a homicide.
And it's finally Flag Cop's moment. And he's like,
I've been waiting for this my whole career.
Which flag
years.
Was it? I don't know. I see some stars. That's not specific enough. There's stars in a million flags. The knot's too tight. Well, don't touch it. There's evidence on it. That's right. And the whole thing's about untying that knot. You're untying the flag the whole season.
Don't let it touch the ground.
Yeah, you can't let it touch the ground either. Because it might be an American flag.
Yes. He knows where it's been.
There's a bad guy who lives on a mountain, and he has a flag, and he's slowly lowering it towards the ground. And if you don't get there, by the time the flag touches the ground, he'll murder somebody. No. He won't murder somebody. He keeps murdering people until you make him. The reason they come up there is because the flag is gonna touch the ground by season.
He wants the flag to touch.
No,
the
no,
ground.
The bad guy's lowering it to the ground, right. And flag cop has to keep it from touching the ground.
Right.
I don't know what the stakes are. Right. I just know.
Because you open the episode with flag cop like raising a flag, and it's like he knows the time of when a flag has to hit the top and the bottom.
Yeah,
it's like
24. It's a ticking clock thing with that guy.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
There's a countdown to a flag touching the ground.
So how much time they have to save all the hostages?
And he has to go through a series of like puzzles to get to the.
Can
place
that guy be
flag.
Played by Christo?
Huh?
Can Christo play that guy?
I was just gonna ask who's playing flag or bad guy?
Christo.
Yeah, who do you want as flag cop? I bet.
Oh, 50
flag
Cent.
Cop?
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
50 Cent? 50 Cent is flag cop?
I blurted that out.
I can't top that.
Can we get
Floyd Mayweather?
Can we get Fitty to play flag cop?
Oh, Fitty would be perfect.
I just want to see him in more stuff, but I don't know if he's right for the part.
I mean, we could probably get
for like the alternate universe version of him.
As long as Ice-T plays the commissioner.
Flag cop, you fucked up again. Shit. Fool, you fucked up again, flag cop. Shit. Get in my office.
I've never seen anybody earn so few stripes protecting stripes. The irony.
I think
flag
like
cop, get the fuck out of here. Go do your job.
Office. Flag cop, shit. What am I here for, my health? God damn it, flag
and then,
cop.
And then halfway through the season at the vending machine,
Ice-T. You have to play Fitty for this. He'll be Ice-T and you're Fitty. Right. You're flag cop.
Oh, sorry.
At the vending machine, I'm just describing an event that happens.
Okay.
It's not like
stage direction.
At the vending machine, Ice-T, who's been riding the guy for the whole season.
It's Ice Cube.
He's always riding him.
Ice-T?
And then he's putting some money in the vending machine, and he drops his wallet, and an old ID falls out, revealing that Ice-T, when he got started, was on the flag department.
Yeah,
that's why I ride you so hard. Because I know you can do better.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. I love it. I love it.
And you got to work twice as hard when you are a flag cop. Because all people see is a fucking flag cop. Doesn't matter how good you are. Shit, Miranda rights, due process, quotas, you can fuck all that. Flag cop. Oh,
no,
sorry, I thought that was the theme song.
There's an alarm going off at Flag Cop Central.
Flag cop.
Oh, shit, I better take care of that, boss. Fuck.
You bet your ass you better take care of it.
Yo, am I going to get a raise, though? For real. I've been working so hard.
Man, the only thing that gets raised around here are flags. Get the fuck out there. Go do your job.
All right, Spencer, let's play some D&D, shall we? Dan, if you would...
Flag cop.
Flag
really?
Cop.
That's a show?
Flag cop should be a show.
I would like see the ad for it and be like, that's a show? Flag
well,
cop?
Well, I'll tell you what, I mean, when you...
It's a Channel 101 show.
If Homeland can be in its sixth season.
What? I haven't even watched
that. What's that show? Terrorist Senator.
Well, that's basically 24, just from a different angle.
All right. There's your Chris DeBerg.
Do I give you this?
Pass them down. Keep your character and pass the others down.
Okay, of course. Where am I? I mean, space.
These are all three pages. These are all dignity.
Let me see it.
Okay, sorry.
It's okay.
This is Quark. He's only one page, so I'm assuming one of those pages.
Give him. Okay. That's Quark.
Passes all the way down to Jeff.
We can edit this part out later, maybe?
I hope so. Such lovely energy early.
If you're listening at home, get up, make yourself a nice cold beverage.
Shamorge, that's you.
This show brought to you by pee. Who doesn't like a nice, distracting lemonade pee? Hey,
are you in the bathroom and you're wondering, how do I get that?
Country Time pee tastes just like your pee.
Ever taken a piss and wondered, I want that in my body.
I've back never in. Took an
how do I do that?
Country Time.
All right, are we good to go?
I think so.
Spencer, take us on a magic voyage.
Okay.
Last time on Harmontown, our heroes were safe for the moment. After losing Mulrain in combat and taking refuge from Admiral Darkstar in the town of Rosebrook, our heroes rested in the constabulary with their new friend, Dignity the Paladin. Our heroes went to inspect the magical barrier defending the town and ran into Father Tinder, who was handing out juice to everyone. After great internal turmoil, debate, and many skill checks, our gang decided the juice was safe and drank the delicious juice. They were so enamored by the juice that they demanded to see the juicery where it was made. Father Tinder took the gang to the juicery, but outside was a drunken knight named Darmvon. The drunk accused the Father Tinder of putting the entire village in danger and attacked. But as Chris DeBerg moved to intervene, the drunken knight fell on his own blade, impaling himself. But what did Darmvon mean with his strange words? What secrets did the juicery hold? Why is everyone so interested in juice? What the fuck is going on to my left? Find out on an all-new episode of Harmontown Time.
What all right.
Sorry, man, we were, like, distracted by the
no,
crazy
no, it's
ice
cool. Thing. I just can't see because, like, Dan's in the way, but like very ice, clearly like something giant, insane's like going on.
I think there was
it's just a big hunk of ice is what I'm hearing.
You're hearing a hunk of guys.
I don't know. That's not interesting at all, really.
The truth is that there's no... This also is not interesting, but there's no easy way to make people drinks up here. So
yeah, I know.
Usually
right.
It's not a problem because we don't usually have drinkers up here.
No,
you're
no,
like
I'm
a Jonathan
not, I'm
back
certainly
here
not complaining.
Like
I just couldn't see
drinks.
At all. You know, I can't see.
Back here.
But we should have a pill that makes your fingernails stop growing, and we should have like a little dispenser up here that you could just...
Like in a big, that robot that's like... You want
Drex?
Here you go.
We could just get a bartender. We could just have somebody
no,
back
I mean,
here tend
but
bar.
It's insulting. You got to have a robot because robot doesn't care if we, if we just like kick him around a bit.
But you we'll pay the guy.
Hey, you dumb robot! Yeah. Give me a drink.
We could every night we could like put up like $50 and we'll have somebody from the we'll there'll be a number under someone's
50
seat.
Bucks?
Well, where would they stand?
Huh? Back over here in the or maybe over here in the 10 bar.
Hobbit will do it for $50.
I'll do it for $50. Fuck yeah!
Well, actually, we'll be
I will. I'm not joking.
I know you would, but it would also be interesting, yeah, to have like a random person from the audience.
I said
week,
50. Is that too high? Did I start too high?
No, it's 100. Too low.
Oh, you lowballed it.
100. What's it? What do no. they call
100
it?
Is 100.
No, 40. $40.
Okay, let's try next week. $100 surprise bartender.
$100 surprise bar. I like it.
And we'll put the bucket over here. And if we snap our fingers, they're getting paid to come bring us drinks.
And we'll mic them up.
Well, it'll free up
so that then we can
bits.
Go. How's it going over there, Tony? And then Tony can go. My name's Alice.
We're talking a higher bit ratio because you're gonna get two more bits each show. And from like the time you'd make the drinks, you'd get
are
more
you
bits.
About? I think
like
every
got comedy bits.
I think every
up.
Week we find a different way to select. Like you know, like it'll be some whose driver's license number ends with a thing, or I don't know. Like we'll find a way to like select somebody.
Well, I will change my driver's license to make it.
Dan, just give Abed $100.
No, I'm just joking. I'm having fun.
I keep thinking about the thought experiment of taking Abed, Gaith, and Steve Brody up to to an elevator on the top floor of a really tall building and putting them both in it and pressing the lobby button and then running down and just waiting to see what's going on in that elevator.
Steve Brody?
Yeah, we've had him on the show. You know, that guy.
Brody Stevens.
Brody Stevens. Jesus
no, I
Christ.
Know Brody Stevens.
Yes!
I know him.
You got it.
I smoked, well, I'm not going to go into that.
I think if Brody Stevens and Abed touched fingers, they would create a singularity.
We should stand up together.
Steve Brody.
I used to do stand up with Brody Stevens.
Is it like
I
a know male him. Stripper?
Yeah.
All right.
It's weird. I have photographs of that.
Okay.
You do have photographs.
Spencer, we were all distracted. I'm sorry, during your eloquent soliloquy there.
Yeah, there was an ice situation, I think.
So what's going on exactly right now in a nutshell?
You guys, you were outside the juicery after having ingested this lovely juice.
Right.
And Darmvon the Knight, he had came up and he was like, "You guys, you fucking guys, you're going to kill us all. We're all dead." And then he attacked, and he fell on his own blade.
Right.
And he was, and that was that just happened. And then you guys were all like, "We're still excited about juice."
I want to make sure I get down by Darmvon's head. You know, like they do in the movies when someone's dying. In
Darmvon.
In case he's got some extra words to squeeze out.
He's like, "You gotta stop him. We'll all die."
Is that Darmvon?
Yeah.
Is he talking about Father Tinder, you think? Or Admiral Darkstar? Oh, by the way, while that's happening, I loot him.
You're going to loot the man?
I'm looting everybody that dies.
Well, Father Tinder's like, "Hey, man, that's fucked up. There's like, you know."
Yeah, don't die.
There's, what do you call them, estates and shit? There's laws. Like,
oh, Father Tinder's standing right there?
Yeah, he's all here.
I take it out. I just put it on the ground. I go, "This guy's got lots of shit."
Oh, yeah, but I mean, that's got to go to his family.
Okay, well, I take inventory of what he's got.
He's got 5 gold pieces, 1 belt buckle, 3 torches, 1 sword, a half plate mail suit of armor. That's all.
Okay. Dibs on the buckle. My pants are falling down.
Ixnay on the Ibs day.
I think we gotta play it cool here. Father Tinder, why was this guy so irate and accusing you of horrible things?
Well, we all just saw it. Don't you remember? That literally happened seconds ago.
I said, why do you think he would be doing that?
Oh, I know why. He was possessed by the demon of alcohol. The second the alcohol reached his lips, he was already dead.
Sounds like someone spiked his punch.
Could nope. I, as a paladin, named Dignity... could I perhaps pull out my ability to smite evil 2 times per day?
Tonight, the role of Dignity Sarsgaard will be played by President Barack Obama.
Yeah, what evil do you want to smite, though?
Well, I'm assuming the father's got some sort of darkness in him. Must I select between the two, or is it just general evil?
As it happens, you're a paladin, and you can detect evil, yet you detect no evil among him. And you get the feeling if you tried to smite his evil, it wouldn't smite him evilly.
Why don't we just take a tour of that juice factory? Like, we're gonna... It's awful to see a guy die.
Yeah, I would like some free samples.
Now, I mean, I don't want to be rude. I enjoy juice a lot more than the next guy. But it's getting late. A man just died. I have to go inform his wife and kids. There's an angel demon beating down our magical barrier. Maybe we should just, you know, turn in for the night.
You know what?
I'm up for the juice tour.
You know what? You know what we should do to cover more ground? You tend to the city's more dire business, given a civic emergency, and we will volunteer to go report the bad news to Darvon's wife.
And then we'll, like, do a juice tour on the side?
Maybe just tour the juicery tomorrow. I mean, I'll take you there. It'll be great.
No, it'll be different tomorrow. Maybe I won't want to do it tomorrow.
Father Tinder, are these soul rods holding up? Like, is this force field going to last much longer?
Oh, yeah, it'll last forever. As long as God's favor is on our side and no one drinks the demonic alcohol.
Wait, is there a difference between the juice and the alcohol?
Juice is juice. Alcohol is
juice
evil.
Juice is juice.
All right. Did he know he was drinking demonic alcohol?
All alcohol's demonic. He knew what he was doing.
Oh, so he's just a drunk.
Are we in the presence? Are we in the presence of any alcohol at this time?
No, not the way I see it. Just wholesome juice.
Wholesome juice.
All right. Huh? Well, we'll go tell his wife about his death, and you go do city things.
I think I'd just go to bed, I guess, really. Well, I mean, wait a second.
Return some library books or something?
No, no.
Where are we going to sleep tonight, Father Tinder? Is there a hotel or a hostel for us?
You know, you could go... Well, didn't you want to go tell the town... Whatever, let me answer your question. There's extra beds.
We will take on thy duties. We'll do it. And then you can attain to your previous, like...
Abed, stop.
I'm sorry, I was trying to help
you,
us out.
You might have to forgive my partner's loquaciousness. if we could perhaps find the wife, and you can accompany us. What I'd like to do at this time, though, I have a horse. If I can mount the steed, and I'll ride the caboose on this train, and I'll put you in front of me and keep my eyes on you.
Well, I mean, I can go tell the wife and kids, and you don't have to come, or you guys could go do it, and I don't have to come. I don't know why we have to all do us together.
But you seem reluctant to let us do it.
I'm dressed in the bedchamber.
We've expressed an interest in going.
You're right. I'm going to change courses here. I'm going to backtrack. Let's go together.
Why don't you take a nice nap in the bedchamber?
I feel like we should go, and you should go to sleep.
Yeah, bedchamber.
You need your
rest. Or you could stay here and bury the body. I mean, that...
Well, yeah, I mean, speaking of which, he puts his fingers to his mouth, and he whistles, and two guards show up in red and white uniforms, and they're all like, "What's all this, then?" And he's like, "This man, he attacked us. He killed himself, basically." And they're like, "Oh, okay." And they start hauling the body off. That's it.
Well, that's the end of that, then.
All that for nothing?
Well, now let's continue talking. What did you wanted beds, I think, right?
I'm tired. It's been a long day. I can take a snooze.
As I said, there's extra beds in the constabulary if you'd like to rest.
Is that another made-up word?
It's like a police station.
All right. We'll go to the constabulary and rest.
Sounds great. Like you get stabbed there.
Well, you might.
Yeah, I'm not feeling this constabulary, fellows. Can I say that?
That's just a joke.
It's a little,
just a bit of priest
humor. It's a little, like, stab-alicious.
Let's just go to the constabulary, get some sleep.
Let's go sleep at the constabulary.
I'll stay awake.
And then
in
the morning,
stab is in the word.
In the morning, we'll go over to Darnvon's wife's house, which is what district again?
Well, if you don't want to do it tonight, that's not a big deal, but I just feel like it should be done tonight. I'll do it. It's fine.
No, I'll do it.
Well, you guys are...
somebody do it.
Yeah, someone do it now.
I'll do it.
Okay, well, go.
Well, let me do it. Where does she live?
She lives over on Reading Street.
I'm going to Reading Street.
I go with him.
All right.
I'm going to hang back.
I'm going to stay here with Abed.
Yeah, I'll hang back.
I'm going to go home.
All right. Why don't you guys go dig up what you can dig up at the constabulary?
Oh, we'll find some stabbing.
Quark and I are going to go check out this guy's wife.
I feel like it's high school and like I was told to go somewhere so that someone else could fuck.
That's not.
We're not going to fuck his wife.
I'm sorry, check out his wife also means like look at her. But I'm just saying, look, cover more ground. It's an investigation. I think that there's strange things afoot in this town. It's all sealed off. This guy's crazy about juice. Guy was saying he's gonna kill everybody, and then he falls on his own sword. I saw him roll the one too. That wasn't supposed to happen. Like when that guy fell on his sword, he rolled a one.
Yeah. All right, so we go up Reading Street to the gals.
Yeah, you do that. You do that as Father Tinder departs. You get to Reading Street and you see a small house that must be it. It's a cylindrical house with a small conical roof.
Yeah, that looks like it. Cylindrical house. Conical roof.
Are you saying it looks like a dick, kind of?
And that's what they said, yeah. It's a pre-address society.
All right, I knock on the door. What time of day is it, by the way?
It's really late. It's okay. Probably like 11 or 12.
Well, that's kind of early.
I don't... Sure. I mean, at night, though.
Oh.
Okay.
Sorry.
Knock, knock, knock.
Hello.
Hello, Mrs. Darnvon.
She opens the door and she's like, "Yes,
we have terrible news for you."
Oh,
I'm sorry. Your husband, in the commission of his duties to protect the city, figuratively and literally, fell on his own sword. and it. He's no longer with us.
I hand her his belt buckle that I took from the pile.
You took the belt buckle?
I just to verify our story. I also have the gold coins too.
her eyes well up with tears, and she's like, "Oh, I knew this might happen. He was talking about it, you know, in the past few days." I'm just gonna.
Mrs. Darmvon, before you continue, could my partner and I come into your home so that this conversation could happen in private?
I mean, I don't really know who you guys are. That seems a bit...
It seems to me, Mrs. Darmvon, from the way things are going around here, that us being strangers means you can trust us the most.
All right. Come in. I'll put the kettle on.
Just don't put any juice in it.
Now, Mrs. Darmvon, you're saying that he was talking about what over the last couple days?
He was talking about how Father Tinder had a magic power that made him untouchable by anyone. You couldn't even try to kill him if you wanted to.
Why would somebody want to kill Father Tinder?
Oh, because that power that he has, it's highly sought after and not uncommonly. In fact, I would say it's a common occurrence. People... Enemies, malefactors, and sometimes dangerous and more dangerous creatures come to the city to try and regain control of this power that he possesses. And
I pull Sharpie aside. Do you think he has one of those magical shards, those power crystal thingy shards?
Did you ever hear anyone say anything about a shard of something or other, or a power of something, or a something of power, or a shard of something?
The only thing Darmvon ever talked about was how the scriptures mentioned something about holy stones.
Ooh.
Cut to Abbott and DeMorge at the constabulary.
Hey, I think there's an echo in this constabulary.
Echo.
Is there anyone there to show us to our accommodations?
Well, so you guys are outside. You're walking towards the accommodations, but then up rolls a gnome in a small wooden wheeled chair. He's
that's not shitty that you're small and you're a gnome. You're also in a wheelchair. Am I starting this bad?
So, Chris, look. Again, Mr. Gnome, if you'll forgive us, you know, my name is Dignity, and my partner's name is not. This is Sir Chris.
Yeah, no Dignity with this woman. Yeah. Look, little gnome, I mean, honestly, I didn't mean to say that because you're a gnome. I mean, obviously, I was joking, right? I'm
Sir
trying to
Chris,
lighten the mood.
If you would.
Yeah, well, no, I'm just trying to, like,
I understand.
Soften him up.
I want to divine some information if there is any to get
from this.
He
probably likes comedy. I'm trying to...
Is there perhaps anything of note about the evening? You know, just the way things have been going, anything?
Well,
in the
how
air?
Long have you been in that little cart?
I...
I should... Kumail's out of a job, by the way. You're in. Kumail's out.
Was that mean?
No.
No, it's great.
I mean,
it's
I'm saying
good.
The obvious.
It's all good. The gnome speaks up. He's all like, "You must have forgotten, for I am Spizbulb, the gnome you've saved."
Oh, Spizbulb.
Oh, the guy that
it's been years.
No. The guy,
I mean, I remember when he was, like, walking around on two little legs. No. You know, and, like, this whole cart thing, this is new.
You realize he can hear you.
Come on. We're buddies. Oh, Spiz. Remember
sir,
that time I gave you a noogie and you thought it was funny?
Anyway.
Great to see you. What sort of information maybe do you have for us?
I'm just feeling a lot better. I'm able to roll around in a wheelchair now. You know, all these healing sessions, they're working. It's great. This place is fucked up, though. You shouldn't trust anyone around here.
You don't say with a name like Constabulary.
Speaking of the...
obviously.
You shouldn't stay at the Constabulary tonight. It's going to be real dangerous. I mean, I got a tower.
You know, not that I don't trust him because he's a little guy with a cart, but I feel like we should probably bail, hang out with our homies over at the... Where are they at? With some girl? hanging out. And she's like a prom queen or something.
Well, they're...
well, that sounds great. Let's go do that then.
Yeah, let's do that. I mean, like, he's, how here's far are we going to get with this guy?
All right, so... Spizzbub. Spizzbub.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been great, sir, and your notes are duly noted by us. What we're going to do is take a different tack on this. We won't reveal it to you, heeding your words of not trusting anybody. But honestly, going somewhere else.
Wonderful constabulatory.
Thanks for
it's
the
really
joke.
Nicely decorated, but. I mean, come on. I mean, once it's you see one, you've seen them all.
It's by the not way, my been, constabulary. That's I'm trying to
I'm
steer you away
you're
from
of
there.
I'm like the host. Kind
why
of
don't
deal?
We just I'm not. Move on and head?
Let's
so we
got
like,
to
head on. We move to
yeah,
we,
I mean,
we
it's
move
been,
to
it's been fresh.
Reading
it's
Street.
Been fresh.
Yeah.
No, to that gotta,
no gotta, let's move.
I'll give you a little advice. You kind of want to like...
If I can drag my friend away.
Bring
just
attention
a moment.
To
sir.
The car.
Yeah, let's go. Let's,
Sir Charles.
You
Sir
don't
Charles,
have to drag
honestly.
Me.
Yeah, maybe
Sir Charles,
a little, like,
honestly.
Cloth over the cart, so I yeah. think he was walking.
You know, there are two types of rhetoric in this world. In every movement, there's a rhetoric of convergence and a rhetoric of agitation.
What he
my
said...
My partner here I mean, is using the rhetoric of agitation.
No, he's the guy with the words. I just hang out. Let's go.
So if you could just... Yeah. So we're on our way. We're on our way
yeah,
to,
gonna,
the house. We're going to rejoin.
Well, you guys should come back to my tower to get sleep and not sleep in these beds when you guys want to sleep. If
that would require
sleep.
Us to trust you, and you've just told us not to do
yeah,
that.
It sounds like a double thing. Negative.
But I mean, we have this whole backstory that has been established. We know each other so well.
Why don't we head toward
trust
the tower?
You know what? That's probably interesting. Like, so interesting, dude.
So
like,
we have.
Hey,
okay.
Hey, seriously,
we are of like mind.
I mean, like, he's obviously on. He's
Sharpie.
To
meanwhile, I, yeah. Meanwhile, okay. back at the
I'm
house.
Meanwhile, back.
Hey, well, can I take a rain check?
Back at the Damvorn or whatever the hell else. Back at the Damvorn house. Well, good night, madam. Thank you. Thank you for the information about Father Tinder.
Well, between those leads and what I'm sure our partners have turned up, I'd call this case just about closed.
Yes. You don't have to be flag cop to know which way the wind is blowing in this town. All right. As I'm leaving, I take out the gold coins that I purloined off of her dead husband. I said, these belong to you, and our condolences, but thank you for your information. And if it's any assurance, we will do our best to right whatever's wrong in this town. I thought we had retired from the adventure game. But it seems like as soon as you get out, they pull you back in.
Seems like nothing gets you into an adventure quicker than avoiding one.
Yeah.
We haven't learned this from 6,000 years of stories.
We walk back into town and we bump.
Wait, hold on. One thing, just to close up with the lady. Ma'am?
Yeah.
I understand this is a difficult time, but this is also part of a larger thing.
Uh-oh. Zip.
Was there... You talked about the things that he mentioned about Father Tinder being crazy. Were there any documents, maps, secret artifacts, things hidden under his floorboards, anything cinematically stowed away?
That you have a locket around his neck?
You're not there.
Also, where would you, any incarnation of you, have learned that from any...
Seems like a locket guy.
You keep shouting out things to people who aren't in the room with us. And it bothers
me.
I understand.
I know.
One of the things is this. You know, you got to come clean with me. If you're a shapeshifter, that's one thing.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. No, I'm no shapeshifter.
Okay,
Jesus.
Well, you know, then you're crazy. And that requires
right,
that requires
right,
a bit
right.
of care.
He's right.
Okay, back to
my
the,
bad.
No,
my
I'm
bad,
afraid
yo.
No evidence at all. I'm afraid not. Nothing incriminating. Documents, no.
Well, God bless you, ma'am, and please stay strong. And at the risk of sounding crass, I think you've got, you know, a lot of years ahead of you. And you look great. I don't think that your life is over just because your alcoholic husband died.
Well, you never know when it's your time.
That's true. I myself had a father who...
It's pretty late.
Okay. All right. Well.
Man.
I guess you're right.
I'm in the background shitting myself laughing.
Oh. I guess. Okay, all right.
I get up from laughing, and as you're walking away from the door, I would imagine, and I give you an ironic high five. I go, way to go, Clark Gable.
Just trying to comfort her.
You can tell me about your dad on the way back to our friends.
Well, he was buried up to his neck by kobolds or something, and then we left him like 3 years ago. All right.
Hey, look. I walking towards some sort of place to sleep, a tower, we see Chris DeBerg and Dignity Sarsgaard.
Outside the constabulary, talking aside about 15 feet away from a small gnome in a wheelchair.
So last time I met a girl with the last name Stab, I mean, crazy.
Spizbulb!
Hey.
Spizbulb, how you doing, man?
Hey.
What's up?
I see you're getting around.
Yeah, I'm getting around. I'm doing pretty great. These guys are just talking away from me. I can still hear them.
Look, so
super. Not talking about anything important.
Just Bisbal, we're tired. Do you have a place we can stay, and then we can walk and talk about what you might be able to tell us about Father Tinder?
Yeah, that's exactly what can happen.
Hey, Spizbob, you know, I know we have our differences, but about this Father Tinder. Now,
what differences did we have? I didn't detect them.
No, I mean,
we're friends.
I know I talked about your little wheel cart, but I just want to know, is that Tinder situation? I mean, what's that like?
It hurts. I'm in a lot of pain.
Someone in the front row said, "Shiver me timbers."
We should be. Guys are ready to get on your way, certainly we've convened a committee and done some discussions and come up with a policy that says that we're ready as well. So if we could just maybe proceed forward with this.
Yeah, I think the streets have ears. We should wipe to interior Skizball's home.
Oh, is this the silent game we're playing?
Wait, can we go down the line and say what we think this guy's name is? Dan, Dan, you go first.
Skizball?
Skizball. What do you think his name is?
It's Skaz Bill. I don't know.
I was told Spizbob, but again, my sources, you know.
Wait, Spizbomb? Is that what he said?
Spizbob.
Spizbulb.
Yeah, Jeff got it.
Okay.
Oh, man.
I was saying, okay, let's circle the wagons here. We don't get a lot of things right. Let's call the guy the same name.
Yeah, I think we get a lot of
try having Hussein thrown at you. So I'm with you on this one, brother.
All right, so we go to Spizbulb's non-square home.
Yeah, it's pants. It's like a tower.
What kind of name is Spizbulb?
It's a family name.
It's kind of, I'm sorry, but you got to change that, dog.
Jesus, take it easy.
I don't agree.
Chris, just saying.
Chris DeBerg, you're really on a kind of...
Like I'm getting too old for this.
No, I don't know. I mean, maybe that works for him, but...
All right. The guy is physically disabled and giving us a home free of murder.
I know, but if his name's Spazbulb, it's like he's clearly doing something wrong.
He doesn't like to be called...
Get-go.
Nobody wants to be called Spazbulb. That's like you're like the jock in a nerd movie.
I know, but... I'm just like...
If it isn't Spazbulb.
All right. So we get up to Spazbulb's place.
It's a cramped and dirty location. It's full of all sorts of weird gizmos and gadgets, little pieces of metal and weird bottles. There's all sorts of stills set up all over the place, and liquids travel to and fro, and weird tubes and vials and stuff. It's all over. Hmm. He's like a crazy mad scientist kind of type, and he's just kind of taking you through to a room with a bunch of beds, and he has a big bottle of alcohol, and he's like, "Do you guys drink alcohol? I drink alcohol."
Hey, guys, first of all, no alcohol. We got to chill. We should
just
get a good night's sleep. Because, I mean, he probably put something in it.
Spizbulb, did you... the guy that tried to kill us, he was drinking alcohol. Did you provide that alcohol to him?
Yeah, man. Anyone who wants it, that's like my job and stuff. I used to do it back at Bill Mardigan's. I do it everywhere I go.
But he went crazy on it.
You know, alcohol, people get addicted. They drink it. They make some poor choices.
Well, maybe he went sane in a crazy town. I mean,
Yeah, he didn't mean to fall over on his sword.
Well, he rolled a one. I saw it. I'm telling you, he rolled a one.
Can I maybe at this time just exercise my ability to detect evil? Just possibly to see if there is anything to stay alert about.
This Spizz Bulb is completely blameless.
Spizz Bulb, what do you know about Father Tinder's attitude towards alcohol versus juice?
I mean, it's fucked up, right? Everyone loves drinking. I love drinking. Gnomes love drinking almost as much as we love riddles and cigarettes.
I smell booze. Spizzbubble, can I have a drink?
Yeah, man, everyone can.
Wait a minute. It's like that level in Myst.
I would advise against such action.
Return to Zora.
Hey, man, I'm a gnome too, man. I want to drink. You didn't detect any evil on this stuff?
No, don't drink it, dude. I mean, like, remember that game?
Detection is only 50% of the
battle. Don't drink it.
Huh?
I'll drink it first to test it.
Okay, he's going to drink it first.
He drinks a bunch of it. It's all great. He's like, yeah.
I say, don't Bogart the chalice, Alice.
Hey, man, I wouldn't drink anything that touches homeboy's lips. I think he's on to...
I run very quickly to the trademark office and trademark don't Bogart the chalice, Alice.
I mean, I think you guys have got it all wrong. I mean, it's like, alcohol's been around forever. This city that's got a bubble around it made from soul rods and praying, where the guy who inexplicably...
He's a religious fanatic.
...carts juice around. The people who get drunk want to kill him. I'm on their side.
A lot of people say a lot of things. And when a community comes together... It is not on the responsibility of every person to carry the weight of everything. It is on the responsibility of one person who chooses to accept the mantle. So I will choose to accept the mantle of not drinking alcohol. But if you guys want to exercise your personal rights to
say
do so, go ahead. But understand.
Hey, you can close Guantanamo any day now. It's been like 8 years.
You know...
And maybe a couple less wars than when you got elected.
Thou doesn't have to drink to have thine good old time.
Guys, go ahead. Sample as you will.
I take a big pull off of Spizzball's booze.
It's great. It's some of the best booze you've ever imbibed.
Are we all imbibing? Should I? I'll step
you can
down.
Do whatever you want.
I, for one, am not. There's your partner I advise against.
I'm going to be with you.
I absolutely advise against.
I mean, we've come this far together. I'm not going to imbibe.
Hey, Spizzbulb, is there a restroom? Is there a restroom runner? I have to roll a one.
Yeah.
rolling a
it's
book
right
bladdy?
Through that door.
I have to roll a one.
Rolling a book bladdy.
I'm not gonna roll a two. I'm just gonna. I just have to roll a
that.
One.
Yeah, yeah. Trademark that.
I run back to the trademark office.
The Bali Shag. Is it Bali Shag or is it Bo Bladdy?
Yes.
What?
Sounds stay, like it's Bali
Shag. Stay in the pocket, bro.
One is tobacco. Okay.
If you're not, when you're not saying something, is your brain going like, I'm not saying something? and then it will literally just fabricate.
You said earlier to
you'll
like,
just say fire hydrant log.
It's look, good. Look, it's good. I'll hang back. I'll be like,
all right. No, yeah,
as I said, do not hang back.
Exactly.
Pedal to the metal, baby.
When he said, earlier not to hang back.
No, do not.
I just want to know more of your secrets. I also want to know from Spizzbulb what the town secrets. Like what?
They hate drinking. I don't know. I don't trust any of them. Can't trust a dry county.
When did you move here?
I just moved here to leave Bill Mardigan's. I got exiled because my alcohol was too good.
Well, I don't trust this guy. I think he's got a shard of power or something on him, some source of power. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, I mean, no, I haven't. But I don't trust him either. I mean, if I were you, I'd get the hell out of here.
What, I don't trust him.
Where does he live? Can we go sneak attack him at night? And just
he
go
lives
go
in you anybody were right by like, his house.
Remember when I made that guy drink my pee? It's like, obviously he's trying to make
that
us drink.
That guy was your brother. Your
no,
cousin.
No, that was my cousin.
Okay.
No, but he's trying to make us drink his alcohol, which might have his pee in it. I'm just saying.
I just drank it. Like, and if it does, fine. It's delicious. I don't care if it's all
well,
pee.
He probably mixed it with some, like, it's 70%.
And it's D&D. There's, like, cheers that eat
you. Was it lemony in any way? Was it lemony in any way?
No, it tastes like really good alcohol.
Listen, I think we've got a lot of spindly little fellas here. Masters of the art of invisibility, silence, creeping around.
Who's that? Who you got? That's
you. That's you.
Your back pocket.
My friend and you.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't know I could do that.
You're very sneaky. You're a rogue and a thief. You're very good and stealthy.
Really?
Yeah.
This strange cultish autocrat sleeps tonight. The sleep of the damned.
Well, listen, don't you think with my insane thief instinct that maybe he might be, like, trying to make us drink his pee?
What the fuck?
No, we're talking about Father Tinder, Chris. Father Tinder.
I'm saying we should, maybe you guys should sneak over to his house, do a little ninja recon.
Oh!
See what you can dig up.
Maybe steal that. I'll go with you. I'll go in there, and if you need some muscle,
you can't send him alone. He'll eat the house.
Yeah.
Can the two of them hop on my horse? Right?
What's that?
Yeah, I'll ride my horse, and I'll ride the two of them over there.
I don't know if that how stealthy that is.
Can I get my own horse? No offense.
I mean, anytime you can conjure one, you know.
Something about sitting behind somebody.
Sharpie, are you saying that Krista Berg and I should maybe go sneak over into Father Tinder's
That's
house?
That's what I'm suggesting.
And see if we can maybe break in using his stealthy abilities and my fighting ability to go in there and maybe steal the shard off
him? Let's see what you can find in there. Dig some stuff up, yeah.
Should we split up, I guess, or should we all go as a team?
Well, I'm a clumsy wizard with, you know, I could recharge my spells.
Sharpie, you're a great wizard.
No, I just mean I'm not very stealthy.
Your name is Sharpie. I don't know.
But you don't have to
close me off.
You have to come in the building, but you could be nearby. You could be within a shouting distance.
I could be outside, like in the equivalent of a white van.
And you're
being a sort of microchip to your Punisher.
Okay. All right. So, Spizbulb, do you know where Father Father Tinder dwells?
Yeah, you guys are just right by his house. It's attached to that juicery.
Is it well guarded, or does he live alone?
No, he lives alone. He's a priest, right?
Okay. Hey, I got an idea. Oh, let's make him think that we're getting a juice tour, but we're really, like, collecting
it's
notes.
The middle it's of the night. He's not going to think that's
like
a juice.
How sketchy he is.
It's the middle of the night right now.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
So he doesn't give tours this late?
No, he's asleep. Wait.
Well, okay. I'm out of options. You guys...
You're never out of options.
I mean, I was trying to distract
you
him.
You have a prime directive, and the prime directive is run with our friend and see what you guys can dig up.
Well, we could just take a nap behind this, like, dumpster. And then we'll get up and we'll get the early tour, and we'll use that tour
You're in
to,
my
like,
house.
Christopher, we're in the man's house. You can't call this a dumpster. You've insulted him enough already.
As I've said before
this
tonight,
house is so shitty.
He can hear you.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well,
his ears aren't in wheelchairs too.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Let's like look around this house. Maybe we'll.
No,
find
we
a clue.
No, he's fine. He's a guy that makes booze. We're gonna go sneak attack Father Tinder right now. Do you want to come?
That's a different house.
Believe me, we're not. We're
oh.
Not,
God.
It's a different
I'll wait
house.
Outside. I'll be the getaway horse.
And while you guys are doing that, I'll use my ability to lay hands.
The getaway
and try
wagon.
To heal your ears. Lay them on your ears and heal.
Oh, these ears. They feel so good now. Okay. I could hear you just as well as I could this whole time.
Guys, I'm
sorry.
I lead him outside. I ask everybody, was Father Tinder and the whole crew to go outside, and I go down on take a knee, and I draw a circle. And I, this is Father Tinder's house, and so we drop a little battle plan, like a little football play, and I say, here's the deal. Just spitballing here. Me, Krista Berg. We're gonna sneak in.
Sure, you want me?
Yes,
like
yes.
Little kittens.
Yes,
yeah.
You're gonna use your stealthy abilities to open the door. Use your tools, your thieves.
I do have those. I have stealthy abilities.
You probably have thieves' kit and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, look at that. Stuff. Well, it's underneath the post-it. Yeah.
And we're gonna break in.
Okay.
Sarsgaard, I want you nearby with a horse in case we have to make a hasty retreat. Sharpie. You're gonna be in the van.
I'll hide in a pyramid of juice barrels.
Okay.
With several spells at the ready. That...
Okay. The signal in case things go wrong is oh shit.
All right. What if it's like something like silver dollar. So he doesn't know it.
Okay.
Again.
Good idea.
Okay. Silver dollar.
We say it twice.
Right.
Yeah, we have to see. If we say it once, it means get in here. Everything's good.
Okay.
If we say it twice, that means we're coming out and we're coming out hot.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Should
like
you make
game.
The signal for don't do something sound like an urgent version of do something?
Come on, if you see me lean out the window, silver dollar. That means, I mean, like, coast is clear.
Okay.
But I go, silver dollar, silver dollar! That means that means it's bad. Now,
I think that'll happen
if I go, silver dollar! That means somebody killed me while I was saying silver dollar, silver dollar.
We need like a bat.
That means still come in. I'm not going to go, silver dollar! Be like, hey, hey, guys, it's great, come on in. Silver dollar, if I say urgently, that means I was stabbed in the process of saying silver dollar, silver dollar.
And if you say silver dollar twice, casually.
Wait, you're saying if you say it once excitedly, it's the same as saying it twice.
I'm saying if I say silver dollar any amount of times casually, the coast is probably clear, but I'm not going to because that's going to confuse it.
Oh, so the code isn't based on repetition. The code is based on tone of voice.
Well, two silver dollars means it's bad. Things have gone.
Even if you're calmly, hey, silver dollar,
yes,
silver dollar.
Yes, because maybe I'm whispering. Maybe there's a guy behind me going, silver dollar, silver dollar.
Okay, all right, okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Huh? Adam, shut up. We already have Abed up here.
You might be right.
No, we're not going to order pancakes. It's the middle of the night. All right. So, okay, are you guys ready to do this?
Yeah.
Are we clear on the signals?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I mean, we know two silver dollars is bad.
Right.
Yo. Kind of sometimes.
Okay. We're running over time here. So so Krista Berg and I, we sneak up.
Well, hold on. Okay. Spizzbulb, before you guys leave, Spizzbulb's like, it's dangerous to go alone. Take this. And he gives you a bundle of black sackcloth. And he's like, don't use this unless there's a serious, serious emergency. And also it'd get destroyed by the barrier. Just keep that in mind. Bye.
We got a ball sackcloth.
Yep.
Exactly. All right, remember that sackcloth. Tell your sober self to remember that sackcloth.
Sackcloth. We got a black cloth that would be bad if we touch the barrier with it.
Yep.
Can't leave the town with it.
Use it in case of emergency, but don't take it to the barrier.
Not when it's active.
Not when it's active.
So we got to
use
it. Ball sack bank.
Yes, okay. Okay, I guess to wrap this episode up, we all get together in a huddle and we put our hands in like a football team.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
And
I hope.
And so, Sharpie, you want to say a couple words before Krista Berg gives us the thing that we say when we let our hands go?
Guys, I hope whoever's playing your characters next time is able to understand what's going on.
Okay.
And so let's stick together.
All right, Jackie Joyner Kersey.
Thank you for coming to Harmontown, everybody.
Oh, boy.
Let's hear it for Demorge Brown. Abed Gaith, Spencer Crittenden, I'm Jeff Davis, your mayor, Dan Harmon. Thank you so much for coming, everybody.